Murray, good morning.
Mitch, very good morning to you. Yeah, I suppose the big story this morning is the elevation, much expected, expected elevation of Barnaby Joyce to the leadership of the Federal National Party.
Yeah.
He has a female deputy. For the first time in history, the Nationals have a female number two, Fiona Nash. She's a senator from New South Wales, Minister for Rural Health. She was born in Sydney. She married a farmer, moved up to Young. She worked for three National Party ministers before getting the nod to go into the Senate herself.
Mm-hmm.
Barnaby Joyce is a good story, interesting story. Comes from a little country town of St. George in southwest Queensland. And he studied account. He went to Riverview here in Sydney.
All right.
As a boarder. Is actually born in New South Wales. He went to Riverview. Switched from the Senate to the lower house at the last election for this reason, to become the leader.
Mm.
He grew up on a beautiful sheep and cattle property. Yeah, they played polo, the tennis courts, the picnic races. And this is very interesting. He married a woman his parents didn't approve of. His family didn't go to the wedding.
Wow.
He married a woman, a country girl. Mum and dad didn't like it. No one showed up. He walked into the church. Her side was packed and a couple of friends on his side.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, yeah, it is crazy, isn't it? Mm. Very happily married. Got four daughters. Always unconventional. He's one of the few. I was thinking about this morning. He's one of the few politicians you know by his first name.
Barnaby. Yeah.
Maybe Malcolm.
Mm.
Abbott. I mean, Tony, you know, never worked. Barnaby Joyce, he's Barnaby.
Yeah.
And he's really unconventional. I mean, one of the greatest things I've seen on TV featuring him was that, do you know Annabelle Crabb on the ABC?
I do, yeah.
She does these great little, she drops in for morning tea or lunch or a meal.
Mm.
And she'll take some sort of dessert and the politician, male or female, whoever it is, makes the main meal.
Yeah.
And it was just fascinating being a fly on the wall with Barnaby Joyce.
Mm.
He's always unconventional, but that lack of polish is one of his strengths, I think. Don't you reckon?
I said it earlier this morning. I like that he's a bit of a character.
He's got some personality.
Yeah, he's not just
buddy robots.
Scripted robots like the rest
like
of
this,
them.
What's his name, Robert? Who's this minister he's under? I can't even think of his name. He's been in the headlines all week. Just this anonymous knob. You know what I mean? What's his name? Is it Stuart
Robert? Yeah, that's right. Minister for Employment, I think.
He could bite me on the bottom in the middle of George Street. I wouldn't know who the hell he is.
Does that happen to you often?
Well, not often, no. Not often enough. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you've summed it up. Barnaby Joyce has got character. He's got personality.
Mm.
He says what he thinks. He's, what was the phrase, the retail politician that Tony Abbott fell in love with.
Mm.
He gets out there, calls the spades shovels, and people like him for it.
Yeah.
We're sick and tired of these plastic politicians.
Mm.
So, you know, he says it's a great time to be. He says he's stoked. Awesome responsibility. He's going to be the acting prime minister.
That's right. It's scaring some people out there.
And he says it's a fabulous thing for him and for his party. The voice of regional and rural Australia now is getting discussed here in big city radio stations.
Mm.
We're talking about the National Party. I mean, poor old Warren Truss, you put 40,000 volts through him, he wouldn't blink. Now we've got someone we can talk about.
Let's stay on politics just briefly for this week. Greg Hunt picking up a pretty prestigious award this week.
Hunty. We call him Hunty now. Now, he was awarded the, I just want to get this wording right.
Right.
He went to the World Government Summit hosted by the United Arab Emirates.
Mm-hmm.
The summit dedicated to shaping the future of government through innovation and technology. Now, some of the topics for discussion, the future of renewable energy, the future of money, and the zombie apocalypse preparedness of the world.
What? That's an
actual... So, this is what Hunty was at. Now, he's rocked up there. He was given the inaugural World's Best Minister.
Mm.
Okay, he's the environment minister. Now, he was the minister in the Abbott government when it came down with the first budget. Promised 1 million extra solar roofs across Australia. Sorry, gone. 25 solar towns. No, we can't afford it. Sorry. Australian Renewable Energy Agency was set up to support new and emerging technologies, including world-leading solar research. Gone. And the Clean Energy Finance Corporation, scrapped. Hunty is the world's greatest minister.
Well, and also he's improving mines that are going to have an effect on the Great Barrier Reef as well. And that's parts of the country as well.
That's right. No, just dig up, you know, have the world's biggest coal mine in the middle of Queensland, ship it out to the coast, straight across the Barrier Reef, dump all the crap on the reef. That's, no, Hunty, good on you, man.
Award-winning stuff.
I mean, just a joke.
All right, and any other big tickets from the news side of things this week, Mr. Olds?
Well, yeah, I mean, we did mention Stuart Robert.
Mm.
it's emerged as well. I mean, he's gone to this dinner in China as, you know, in a private capacity. He happens to be a great mate with the biggest Liberal Party donor this side of the Black Stump.
Nice.
Some bloke who gave the Libs $2 million.
Wow.
He's up there signing a big lucrative deal. But, oh, you know, Robbie, let's call him Robbie, Stuart Robert, Hunty and Robbie. I mean, he's there. I did nothing. He's just the assistant defence minister.
Mm.
So the Chinese gushed all over him, the fact all the Australian government loves this. No, I was just there as a private citizen. Well, he's being investigated. His future in the ministry is probably doomed. And it did emerge that at one of these dinners, the Chinese businessman produced these Rolex watches.
Yeah.
So expensive you could fund Belgium's national debt. And, you know, so heavy that it was poor old Robbie's arm was sort of dragging on the ground like some sort of knuckle dragger.
All right. And just very quickly as well, more locally, Sydney-wise, the lockout laws continues to create a bit of controversy. Mike Baird copping a fair bit, especially on social media this week.
Absolutely, 12,000 posts. Even the BBC has looked at the story.
Oh, wow.
The BBC says that Australia's most popular premier got a smacking this week over the city's lockout laws. The point that was made by the original essay on social media, and it was by a fellow who runs pubs and clubs in this city. His name Matt Barry. It's an 800-word essay. "Well, the last person in Sydney, please put the lights out."
Mm.
Well, Mike Baird came out in defence of the policy, so the two of them were sort of argy-bargy.
Sparring.
Came the social media response, absolutely hammered the Premier.
Mm.
But he points to the medical outcomes that this policy has created. And the doctors who have been previously in years gone by treating the avalanche of injured people rolling down the hill from King's Cross and Vincent's, there's no one coming down the hill anymore.
Yeah.
The doctors say that for us is the start and finish of this whole debate. It doesn't go beyond that.
Mm.
Kids aren't getting, young people aren't getting smashed and then punched up while they're drunk and off their face, falling over and all the rest of it.
It's a hard argument to argue against.
It is, but equally, you've got restaurateurs are going out of business, people who are trying to run bars, they've got, I've got no problem with strip clubs going out, if the allegations are correct that the staff are doing Persian rugs and selling them to patrons,
yep.
That's a different story.
Mm.
But, you know, your kids will be working in pubs and clubs when they go through uni. Mm. That's the reality. Young people have work in this industry, and the opportunities have been diminished. That's tough, says the Premier. The medical stuff is incontrovertible. You cannot argue against it.
Let's talk sport, Murray.
Yeah, look, the big news in A-League football, the Western Sydney Wanderers. Any more issues with fans letting off flares, they're going to lose 3 competition points.
Wow.
They don't want to do that. They are top of the pops right now, equal with Brisbane. And Football Federation Australia could have got real tough with the Wanderers. They've fined them $50,000, but really, the big threat was the loss of competition points.
We need them.
Absolutely. And look, the club's a great, it's a great story. Asian champs, from cellar dwellers to top of the pops in a season.
Mm.
Great coach, Popper, wonderful players, super fan base.
Mm.
The red and black block, astonishing. They really give the game a lot of pizzazz. They really fill the TV screens. You got energy, you got excitement. They love their team with a passion.
It's like you're watching a game from overseas, Mark.
Correct.
Yeah.
And a handful of dickheads have now threatened all of that passion and pride. I don't know why they don't police this themselves. The fans just get these guys, get out, not interested.
Yeah.
Which is what the club has said. Very, very blunt. Very blunt. We don't want you. We do not want you at our games because you're fools and you're jeopardising everything the club's worked so hard to build up.
Mm.
So, look, it's pretty clear FFA will go bang next time. They've got these 3 points hanging over them. And, the Santa Lab, he said, man, come on, give us a break. We've busted our backsides to get where we are. We're top of the table. Let's stay there.
Mm.
We don't need to lose points because of our fans. The players love the fans. Don't get me wrong.
Yep.
And the red and there are no more passionate fans in Australian football, but they're just a handful
clean
of idiots.
It up.
Yeah, look, the other big story this morning, of course, the first cricket test getting underway between Australia and New Zealand over in Wellington, the Basin Reserve, beautiful ground. The Basin Reserve, have you ever seen it?
No,
it's this little green oasis with traffic and roads coming down from all over the place, and it's a great big sort of roundabout. And in the middle of it is this gorgeous little old school cricket ground with a white picket fence and so on.
Great.
So very green The green top has been prepared for the Kiwi bowlers, Bolt and Southee. They are world class. James Pattinson's been left out in favour of Jackson Bird.
Big Bird.
Big Bird, born in Sydney, I think. Born in New South Wales, certainly now playing his cricket down in Tassie. It'll be his first test since 2013. The team that wins the toss is going to bowl, no doubt about it. I had a look at the forecast this morning. It's going to be overcast there, so the ball will swing on the green deck. If Australia's going to bat first, look out. Warner will be opening the batting, and he'll go pretty strong.
Right.
You know what you're going to get. Now, in terms of winning away from home, it's very hard. I looked up Australia's record. The last 3 years, they've won 5 tests away, the Aussies. They've had 13 losses and 2 draws away.
Yuck.
So it's difficult. Struggled. They haven't won the Ashes in England for 15 years. They struggled against Jimmy Anderson and the Swinging Duke. At home, so... In the last 3 years, they've won 5 away. They've lost, had 13 losses, 2 draws. At home, they've won 10, lost 1, drawn 4.
There you go.
Really strong at home, struggle away. I'm really, really looking forward to this test match.
And just very quickly, Lauren Jackson?
Yeah, Lauren Jackson's given herself another month. Okay. And with the blessing of the basketball people, she's looking, for me, the greatest basketballer Australia's ever produced. She wants to go to a 5th Olympic. Can you imagine that? 5 Olympic Games?
Mm.
Imagine that. In Rio, but a knee is shot. She got an infection in her knee after surgery. One more month to try and get right. She'll pull the pin at the end of, what's this month, February. So mid-March, we'll know if she's going to go to Rio.
All right, there you go. Biggest stories in news and sport for the week, Murray Holmes. Thank you very much.
Cheers, buddy.